Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Matthew 27. You know, I love talking about resurrection. You know, one of the things that the Bible talks a lot about is newness of life. You know, where the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The word life, newness of life, the word is zoe, and in the Greek, what it means is regeneration every single moment. You know, we talk about how cells split and reproduce new cells, and it just keeps going and going and going. How many of y'all ever use one of those fireworks to get the fireworks? Not really fireworks, it's a weird thing. My kids like it. It's a worm thing. You light it, and it's flat, and all of a sudden, this black stuff looks like a giant worm just comes out of nowhere, and it just kind of grows out of nothing. Well, you know, it's kind of like the life of God in us, but it's not black. And the life of God, it just flows and keeps on going and going and going. It just regenerates all the time. That's what life, the life of God, is for each and every one of us. And so I love talking about resurrection life and newness of life, because there is no end to anything and anyone that has the newness of the life of God in them. And how many of you know, if you're born again, you have got that life on the inside of you. And so in Matthew chapter 27, and in let's look at 45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried in a loud voice, saying, Lama sabachthani. Okay, now I don't know if I pronounced that right or not. But then it says what it means. It means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, the man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge filled with sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come down to save him. Now I want you to see that, because again, they had it all wrong. They thought Jesus' death was a defeat. They thought the Romans killed Jesus. They thought that it was man that did that to Jesus, but you have to realize Jesus came for that specific purpose, to become that perfect sacrifice. All right. And then verse 50, and Jesus cried again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Now I want you to see that, because again, one of the things that you have to realize is that Jesus gave up his life. He released his spirit. He didn't get killed. There are so many times in the Bible where he could have been killed. You know, they tried to throw him off a cliff and he just slipped on by. You know, I mean, imagine that. Boy, I tell you. And so there's several times where crowds were stirred up, and you know, nowadays crowds get stirred up, all kind of stuff happens. But back then it was even worse. You know, you think some of the stuff happening today was bad, man. It was barbaric back then just as well. But then in verse 51, this is where I want you to begin to see here. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks split. Now think about this. This was a major event that happened. And when I read this part right here, the other day I was watching some video clips on tsunamis. I don't know why. Weather Channel's app. They have videos sometimes, and so I hit that. And man, the power of that tsunami coming in there, it just wipes things down. It just absolutely obliterates things. So there is some application to power. There's some things that happen. Oh, now if you have young kids, or maybe you just do that on your own, but yeah, anybody ever watched Nanny McPhee? Nanny McPhee? Anybody watch Nanny McPhee? Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you for that hand right there. So Nanny McPhee comes in, she has her little cane, and she hits the ground with it, and all of a sudden, boom! All the kids in the room, they eventually straighten out. But yeah, so maybe there's some power involved, and it causes things, it stirs things up for a moment, but then all of a sudden, it all shakes out. I've got a friend of mine, several years ago when we were kids, I grew up in Northwest Houston, and they were driving from Houston up Highway 290 towards this little town called Hockley for a funeral. Now, y'all remember back in the day when they had the big town cars? I don't know if town cars are big anymore. But these were some big guys, or four big old guys, in this big old town car. And so they're driving down the road, and all of a sudden they saw the sky turn green, and they heard the freight train. Y'all know what I'm saying, with the freight train? And so my friend decides, well, hey, we got to run for a ditch. So driving down the road, he opens the back door. I don't know what he was thinking. and the back door sucks open and slams the front door. I mean, now you talk about some crazy stuff. And so he almost got sucked out, but somebody reached over, and as the back door was bouncing back, they grabbed it and shut it, and then that's when everything broke loose. And the car started going up in the air, and his dad let go of the steering wheel. The steering wheel just started spinning just like that. You could tell it wasn't on the ground, and it was back and forth and all kinds of stuff. And they saw cars flipping down the road, and then it was over, and there was a great calm. But there had been some kind of disruption. It was an awesome display of power. Now, if you've ever seen pictures of different things that were awesome displays of power, you just got to have some respect for the awe of that magnitude of force. Now, I love weather. I'm a certified storm spotter, and I love studying weather and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just amazed at force, of power, of different things. It's just amazing. But that doesn't compare to what happened this day. It says that the rocks, the earth quaked and the rocks split. And then it says in verse 52, and the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and coming up out of the graves. But I want you to see this, after his resurrection. So this verse is talking about two phases. It's talking about what happened at the death of Jesus, but then it continues on the same thought, and it talks about the power of the resurrection. Everyone say resurrection power. Because there's some power that we've seen in our time that are pretty amazing. But then we've talked about some of the power that we see on earth today. You know, you look at all the different miracles that Jesus did. Matter of fact, there's a couple places of Matthew chapter 11, verse 5. You can just listen to this. It says, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So we already know there was a feeding of 5,000. There was a feeding of some other folk. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. And during all this, these miracles, you don't really see a magnitude of some eruption, some kind of disturbance. As a matter of fact, you know, when Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead, you think dead raising, surely there would be some kind of disturbance and all of a sudden real dramatic. You know, Lazarus was raised from the dead 3 days after he was already dead. He was dead for 3 days. And so Jesus goes over there, and of course, you know, he said, roll the stone away. And of course, they're like, well, Jesus, he stinks. You know, they didn't embalm them like they do today. And so you know, they're thinking, okay, well, I don't know what he's doing, but he's ordering us to roll the stone away. Well, you know, if we're talking about resurrection power, and Lazarus was resurrected from the dead, so surely there should have been an earthquake, right? I mean, couldn't the power of God roll that stone away? I mean, after all, we're talking about raising folk from the dead. You've got blind people. You got people with leprosy that were healed. Man, their skin was all gnarly and nasty. And all of a sudden, boom, just a split second later, all of a sudden, it was like, wow, it all ended. It was clear. It was clean. You know, just all these different miracles. But nowhere have you ever seen something say how magnificent and the awesome display of power on the earth. Now, I want you to look in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 1. Because God's resurrection power is a force. It is a massive force. It is one of the greatest forces that ever connected with the earth ever. Ever. In Ephesians chapter 1, now I'm going to read it from the I'm going to read it from the New King James here, and then I'll read it from the Amplified. Ephesians chapter 1, this is Paul's prayer. Because Paul discovered some things about Jesus that I believe God revealed to him, because Paul was, I believe, who God sent to grow us up. Jesus came to talk about new life and to give us new life and to let us know there was a new way of living coming after he died and resurrected. And then now Paul was raised up to begin to show us what the new life is and how to live this new life. Here is Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and the love for all the saints, I don't cease to give thanks for you, mentioning you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glorious of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. So here we go. Starting out with this, Paul's prayer is that, hey, you guys, my prayer is that your eyes see this. My prayer is that this is revealed to you. You know, because there are some things that you can explain to folk, and they're like, okay, yeah. But then all of a sudden, later on, they get it, and they're like, oh, okay, I got it. Well, Paul, his prayer was that he's not just communicating some great information. Paul's prayer was that, guys, I want you that you've got to see this. You've got to have this aha moment that God showed me, because the magnitude of the things of God are only as big as you believe they can be in your life. And so his prayer was that. So then he goes into what he's talking about. What is he wanting to see? Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Now it's talking about exceeding power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So now again, we're talking about exceeding power, mighty power. Verse 20, now he explains when it was used, which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now I want to read this verse. I'm going to read these verses in the Amplified version to get an understanding of it in our vernacular and our understanding. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into the mysteries and the secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your hearts flooded with light, that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and the rich, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in us and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. What this passage is telling us right now, that there was one moment in time, one moment in earth, where God exhibited the greatest amount of power, the most innumerous, immeasurable, unlimited amount of power, God only did once. Now, you think about it. You know, think about creation. Man, God, in the 6 days of creation, God exerted a lot of power. I mean, there was a lot of energy. There was a lot of force, and all kind of stuff happened in a six-day period. But you know what? That didn't flicker the lights in heaven. You know, all right, let me ask you this. If I were to mention two words, Huntsville, Texas, and Old Sparky, would y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay, all right, we got one for you. Old Sparky, that was the name of the electric chair back in the day. So years ago, I was on a bus. I had to go pick up a truck. I lived in Houston, had to go pick up a truck in Fairfield, Texas. So I rode a Greyhound up to Fairfield, and a guy was going to pick me up there. And so, man, the only thing about Greyhound, I mean, it was rough, but you stopped every town. It was, so you know what was supposed to take you like an hour and a half, took you like 4 hours. And so we're rolling through Huntsville, and the bus driver, he did great. He gave us a tour. I mean, he's like, he was knowledgeable. So he was telling us, you know, about how the lights would flicker whenever they would, you know, whenever they would flip the switch. And so all the townspeople would know when someone was getting electrocuted. And so the lights would flicker because that was a lot of power from the power plant there in that region that was being used. You know what I'm talking about? Or, you know, like at your house. You know, if maybe you live in an older home and the AC kicks on, there's that draw. And then just for like a second, the light's kind of dim just for a second, or maybe when a dryer kicks on. You know what I'm saying? All those different things. But you know what? I don't believe that the lights in heaven ever flickered with anything else. Now you know the lights in heaven ain't ever going to flicker. But if there was one time where heaven exhibited, brought down to earth the greatest amount of power ever, this verse is telling us that it was at the resurrection of Jesus. Now, think about it, though. You got other people being raised from the dead. I mean, you got Jairus' daughter. You got Lazarus. I mean, people have been raised from the dead for a long time. And again, never said nothing about a great amount of power. But the Bible shows us that Jesus, all of our sin, all of our sickness, all of our sorrow, all those things were placed on Jesus. And listen, it took a whole lot more to destroy everything that would hinder our lives. Listen, past, present, and future. You think about it, you think, well, you know, back in the Old Testament, you know, they would sacrifice things for their sins for the upcoming year. I mean, basically, their sins would get rolled over. They sacrifice something, do all their stuff, go to the temple and the high priest and all that, and their sins were forgiven for a year, basically. And so every year they had to do it over and over again. But Jesus was the perfect lamb that did it once for all. Now that is deep to think about, past, present, and future, that our sins are taken care of. So now there's not a sin problem. You know, religion always talks about, well, there's a sin problem. Well, man, I'm telling you what, Jesus paid for that sin problem, and all what he's wanting us to do now is begin to serve, to follow him, to fellowship with him. Now, I want to show you something. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Because heaven distributed the greatest amount of power on the day of resurrection. Now, we know that the resurrection of Jesus for us means new life. It means the old is gone, the new has come. It means that our lives don't have to be the same. If we will find what belongs to us, the promises that were given to us, if we will believe what he said, no matter what our situation looks like. Because see, when I was young and I gave my heart to the Lord, you know, I didn't know a whole lot. I didn't know all the things that I were doing that were wrong. But what I did know is that I couldn't fix some of the stuff I did, and I needed someone to take my place. And aren't you glad that Jesus took our place? Because we couldn't fix it anyway. We couldn't. There's nothing. All those things and the rituals and the following the 30-something hundred, you know, laws of the Old Testament, there is no way ever that you and I could ever accomplish that ourselves. Never. And there was never a sacrifice good enough, perfect enough, until Jesus. So Romans chapter 8, and let's look at a couple verses here. It says, well, look at this, verse 11. It says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now I want you to see this, because now this verse is telling us that same power, the Spirit of the living God that raised Jesus from the dead. Now again, remember, the only place in the Bible where it tells us the unlimited, immeasurable amount of heaven's power touching or connecting with earth. You know, I think about videos of lightning strikes. You ever seen some of the lightning strikes? All this power, and all of a sudden, bam, it touches the ground. It's almost like the hand of heaven touching the earth. But again, God's not destructive. You got to remember that. And so, but just imagine that moment, all that power touching the earth was at the resurrection of Jesus. Now this verse is telling us that all that power lives on the inside of each and every one of us. Now I want you to see this, because again, we talk about how Jesus took away the sin of the world, but imagine if all of heaven touches the earth. Do you think that heaven's power is only limited to just sin? Absolutely not. All of heaven's power is for all of earth's junk. All the junk that you and I could ever imagine going through, ever have been through, God has resurrection power for you as well. Resurrection power for your body, for your physical body, your physical well-being. Resurrection power for your mind. You know, so many people have been through so many traumas and different abuses and different relationships and hurts. Listen, resurrection power for your marriage. Resurrection power for your finances. Oh man, I'm grateful for that. You know, why do you go to work? Well, to earn a living. Okay, well, that's great, but is it bringing any blessings to your life as well? Because God wants you to live a blessed life. God wants you to live a life of overflow, not of barely getting by. Imagine if heaven touched the earth, nothing should be the same. Nothing. Remember, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are past, and all things become new. God wants you and I, God wants you and I to walk in newness of life. Why? Because that same resurrection power has never left the earth. You know, that's why Jesus, whenever he was ascending into heaven, he told the disciples, he said, hey, go. He said, all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore. As a matter of fact, that's in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. How much power? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. In other words, that word therefore is talking about, hey, whatever he just said, see what it's there for. The power is there for you to go. As a matter of fact, when you study that word G-O, go. Now I know you're just like, well, Mr. Munu, and I think that word means just get on. Just get on down the road. Go is real simple. No, when you study what they were meaning, that expression back then, it means to get past yourself. It means to get past how you feel, get past what you think about. Well, you know, I'm not really anybody special. You don't have to be anybody special. The special part is what Jesus did for each and every one of us. That's what makes you special. The Bible talks about treasure in earthen vessels. That treasure is talking about is the presence of God. You know, in the Old Testament, the presence of God, the glory of God, traveled around in boxes, a box called the Ark of the Covenant. That was never God's will. God's will is that His presence, His glory, His goodness, travel around in us, on us, and by us. When Jesus came back, conquered death, hell, and the grave, and brought things back in line with God's original plan, that plan, once again, was that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, make alive, quicken you and I, our mortal body. You know, you look at a lot of us, we go through things, we've been through things, and we have a hard time imagining how the goodness and the greatness of God can live on the inside of us and operate. How can God use me? How can God be in me when I've done this, right? I'm just so imperfect. Well, y'all know the story about the prodigal son. He got his dad's inheritance early and went and squandered it in a far country and blew it on pretty bad stuff. I mean, it was pretty hardcore stuff. And then finally, he's so broke, there's a famine in that land, and he is feeding some dude's pigs and eating the pig junk. I mean, eating the stuff the pigs are eating. And then finally, he comes to himself and he says, you know, my father's servants are eating better than I am. I'm just going to go to my father and apologize and basically grovel. And he says, I'm going to just tell him, hey, look, I'm going to just be as one of your servants. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'm going to be one of your servants, and that way I could just survive. So he goes back. The Bible says his father sees him from afar, because even though the dad knows what his son was doing, he knew he was going to mess up in the first place. He knew what his son was going to do. He knew what he was doing. You know, he heard reports about what his son was doing. Every day he looked as far as he could to see if that boy was coming up over the hill, because he was wanting to grab that guy. The Bible says that he saw him at a distance. He ran to him, fell on his neck, and kissed him. That's very passionate. And it was an imperfect boy, but this father didn't care about anything that he did. He just wanted him back in fellowship with him. And so sure enough, he ran and kissed him, and the son says, Father, he says, Dad, I have messed up. He said, I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'll just be one of your servants. You know what? The father never even responded to that religious self-pity groveling. The first thing he said was, he ignored those words, looked back at the servant and said, hey, get my signet ring. So the signet ring represents the Father. The signet ring is a symbol of your standing. Anyone that wore that Father's signet ring had the same authority that Father had. He said, give me my signet ring. Give me my shoes. Give me my robe. That robe was a positional thing also. That robe literally represented everything that that boy had squandered being restored back to him again. Now, that ain't right. That ain't fair. Well, you know, you make your bed, you sleep in it. You know what? We could say that about a lot of stuff in our life. But Jesus loved us so much. God the Father loved us so much that He did everything He could for one purpose, and that was to bring us back into right standing so we can be in right fellowship. This morning, I believe more than anything in the world, God wants us in fellowship with Him. It started out in the Garden of Eden, us walking in fellowship, and it needs to end with us walking in fellowship. You might be born again, you might not be born again, but the reality is Jesus didn't come just to forgive you of your sin, just to forgive me of my sin. Jesus came so that we can have fellowship with the Father once more. Let's bow our heads.